The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CFO Danny Wells of Venture Life Group, a leading consumer healthcare products firm. So big welcome, Danny.
Morning, Paul. Good to see you again, as always.
Yeah, well, many congrats on yesterday's positive and in-line full-year trading update, with sales increasing 32% to £35.1 million. So maybe we can start there. I suppose you could just give us a quick glimpse of what's been sort of like behind that strong double-digit growth.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem, Paul. I think, first of all, you've seen recently that we've started to really talk prominence around our power brands. What are the power brands? Balance Active, Lift, Glucogel, Earol, Health and Her, Health and Him. These are the brands that we really put increased marketing investment behind. And we believe these brands have legs. They can travel globally. They've got lots more opportunity within the home market as well. So when you look at those collectively, those represent around 94% of our portfolio as we are today, with the other 6% being partnered only products like the oncology support range, Pomity, Gelclair, where we don't put any specific marketing support behind those. So overall, when you look at the power brands, they grew 15% last year, as you've seen in the announcements, up to 33 million versus 28 million the previous year on a like-for-like basis. But really important to highlight is that within the UK business, which accounts for over three quarters of the power brand's revenue, the levels of growth grew above the top line 15% growth rate on those power brands. So in the UK, we grew at just over 20%. Few drivers behind that, really. I think the first one to call out is the strength of new product launches, or NPD, as we usually abbreviate it. If you just look at last year alone, products solely launched during 2025, brand new products, delivered around 1 million of incremental revenues. And those were launched throughout the year. So some of those very late on in 2025, which will annualize going into the calendar year we're entering, we've just entered now. So new product launches are significant. Also, you've seen us talk prominently about our change in marketing strategy. Just to elaborate on that a bit further, what we are really focused on now, and this is helped by the appointment of Kate Baish to the board of Venture Life as Chief Marketing and Innovation Officer. Kate has really reset the marketing strategy of the team to look at increased investment in what we call working media. So increase in digital advertising, always on digital campaigns, but also trialing new things that we've not done before at Venture Life, such as TV and radio campaigns. And you can look at those in small geographic regions as trials. And if they work, you can roll those out more effectively. I mean, probably the key one last year we did was in the US, where we had a small advertisement on the back of the Oprah Winfrey documentary. And we saw something like a 600% uplift in our Amazon sales of the Health and Her products immediately after that campaign. So it just goes to show that, you know, traditionally we would have probably stayed away from TV type advertising because of the fear of the cost of it. But actually, having trialed it and being brave to try new things, we're really seeing the impact and the uplift that's generating. So that, you know, that shift has been key. And the other thing I'd call out clearly, building on the US point there, is with the Health and Her business acquired at end of 2024, we also launched into CVS Pharmacy during 2025. And that alone gave us around 8,000 distribution points, best part of a million in revenue from that new customer. So those are really the big bucket items that drove 2025 and that top line 15% growth on the power brands.
Yeah. And then just on that marketing and sales, given you've had so much success in that sort of top line, are you going to continue at this sort of elevated level of marketing? Because it seems to work.
Yeah, we've seen immediate results from it, Paul, and very much as we head into 2026 now, having further increased our capabilities, particularly across digital marketing, in-housing more roles into the team who are experts in these fields, is allowing us to build cost-effective digital campaigns where we can track the level of impressions, click-throughs, click-through to buy, and really give us insight that's showing what's working well, what returns we're getting on that. So yes, you can expect to see a continued focus in this area. I mean, if you look at our advertising and promotional expenditure across 2025 compared to the previous year, it was up around 50% in absolute terms and on a like-for-like basis, to a level now where it's around 14% of the UK brand revenues in totality. That's a level that we're happy to maintain right now. But really, in the detail of that, coming back to working media, is being focused on how we spend that money and looking at getting ensuring wider reach from
Okay.
that spend.
Yeah, and I did notice that the Health and Her brand or Health and Him brand was actually up 44%, and obviously on the back of something like that Oprah Winfrey advertising you did, and also presumably other digital advertising. Is that going to be sort of like sustainable at that level of 44%? Presumably that's organic, isn't it? 44%.
Yeah, it is pure organic. I mean, the two key elements of that are the business has got a fantastic NPD, new product development platform, and has really driven out expansion of its product portfolio since we acquired that business. At the time of acquisition, Paul, there were a high number of product developments already underway within the Health and Hair business, which didn't sit in the pre-acquisition revenue and profitability. So we've been able to get the benefit of that post-acquisition. And of course, coming back to the CVS Pharmacy launch, which is on those Health and Hair products, and you look at that 44% growth overall, we can allocate around 13% of that to the US launch alone.
Right. Okay. And I'm guessing, is the business now profitable, or is it? I know you bought it for about, is it about £10 million, if I remember, in November
Yeah, well,
2024?
that's right. 10 million was the potential enterprise value, but actually, despite the 44% growth in top line revenues, the business fell slightly short of earnout targets on the acquisition, which means that our real EV we ended up paying was about 8.5 million. So there was some untriggered consideration. So that's actually brought our multiple on the deal down to well within our 5 to 7 times target range on EBITDA multiple, which you'll have heard us talk about in the past. So, just to answer your question about profitability, at the point of acquisition, again, the business was around a break-even business for the last 12 months. But if we look at the 12 months just gone for 2025, that business unit generated well over £1 million of EBITDA on a standalone basis. So it's been a real success story.
Yeah, it looks like an absolute cracking deal. Okay, what about obviously the UK is doing well. The US seems to be really sort of like motoring, particularly on that menopause brand. What about, could you just say a few words about the other rest of the overseas, because it did seem to fall back slightly.
Yeah, so the international business, we've been really looking at how we manage this business going forward. And when you look at the sort of the customer list, we've got some key strategic partners in that portfolio, and then quite a few sort of tail end customers dotted around in Europe and the Americas. And where we're really seeing that the strongest growth coming is from is our strategic partners. And if you look at the last 12 months, we've had isolated cases of orders being pushed back, not happening quite on time of when we expected. To give you a couple of examples of that, Paul, Alliance Pharma recently divested the Gelclair product portfolio to Universal Medicines, I think it is. And there was a little bit of disruption through that change. The order will still be supplied as planned later this month, but it's an example of some disruption that's been created as outside of our power brands. Another example would be in Scandinavia. You'll have seen in the RNS that we've had a change of ownership in the local distributors in that market. Now, that's where this to be clear, the customers of our main distributor whom sell and produce the promotional activities in market. Some disruption there meant that some higher stock levels at the end of the previous year on those products didn't sell out as quickly as expected during 2025 due to some disruption in the timing of those promotional activities. We can see that that's now washed through the market and now we're in a position of normality again. But importantly, as part of thinking about how we manage international going forward, coming back to the point about focusing on key strategic relationships, we're building and building out the growth plans into wider geographic expansion of these products beyond Scandinavia. So that's we can continue. We know these products are selling well, but we know there's a whole host of opportunity across the EU, which we look to tap into more and focus more on.
Yeah. What about the US? Presumably, if you're doing so well in CVS, just have a knock on Walmart's door.
Well, of course. I mean, there's a list of targets we're working on right now, and I won't say too much, but the team are doing a great job. As the business has grown in CVS, it's clearly given us a beautiful platform to go and build out around that. We are also online on Amazon in the US, and we do have a few other smaller customers as well, Vitamin Shoppe being a notable one, and a few other more regional players. But yeah, absolutely, there's a key target list that we're working to in the US, and importantly, we believe that also provides a space for potential M&A opportunities and for some of our other brands to cross-sell into
Yeah.
customers.
Is there any tariff impact at all with the US? Do you export from the UK into the US, or is it actually sort of manufactured by, is it Bio do the manufacturing now, don't they? I think.
It's a bit of both. So we export from the UK for the health and hair product range that's currently made within the UK market, but we also have some products delivered by Biodui in the
Yeah.
Swedish facility. So it's a bit of both. At the moment, Paul, to be honest, our exposure is minimal in that market based on where the current revenue levels are. It's something that we are closely monitoring and working with our advisors on, and ensuring that as we plan to grow out in that market, that we ensure that we mitigate and minimize any potential tariff exposure there. And also, at the moment, our model very much in the US is using third parties and agencies to manage that business, because we don't have enough utilization of that market right now to justify our own resources there. But this is something we're also looking at to make sure that as that business grows, we can manage it in the most cost-effective way as we can.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's come down the P&L a bit. I know you didn't reference anything in the statement in terms of gross margins or EBITDA or anything like that. But can you say a few words in terms of being on track for the profit targets for the 17 months ending May 2026?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the key message. We are on track. We're seeing strong revenue growth over the last 12 months. The guidance we've given for the 17-month period, and therefore the last 5 months of that period we're in now, if you look at the level of growth rate in there compared to what we've delivered over the last couple of years, we've over-delivered against that level of growth that's out in the market. Really, and when you look in particular at what's driving that growth, again, coming back to the points at top of this discussion around the NPD launches, the annualization of those NPD launches that we're working on, some orders that should have happened at the end of 2025 that have moved into the beginning of 2026, these really underpin our confidence in the trading performance of the group. And also, Paul, when you look at, I know we haven't commented in detail on the RNS around other areas of the P&L, but gross margins looking healthy. Yes, we've made more investment to increase our capability across digital marketing, innovation, also procurement as well. But these things are all helping us to deliver an exceptional new product development pipeline in conjunction with our strategic partner, the Healthea Group. As a reminder, the Healthea Group are the owners of Biodue, who acquired our two manufacturing facilities last year. So we've worked with this supplier for many years, and we're in a long-term agreement with them now for the next 10 years. And we're working very closely and strategically to ensure that the quality of the new product launches and the execution of those is successful.
Yeah. Well, and also on the cash side, I noticed you've got net cash of just over 34 million pounds. Can you just take us through what the usage of those is going to be? Because obviously you're doing a stock buyback, but that is small beer compared to the Big Mac cash mountain.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if we just talk about the perhaps the stock buyback to begin with, Paul. So to date, we've purchased around 3.9 million shares since we started the program last November, spent around 2.5 million on that. You can see it's really helped to manage to stabilize the share price and ensure a steady growth over the last few months. I think we were up 70% overall on share price during 2025 alone. And although we've put out a note that we'll buy up to 10%, 12.8 million of our shares back, really we're monitoring that closely, and there's a limit on that at the moment. If we look at our decision point, really is what could we buy M&A for? What sort of target multiple, and how does that compare to the EBITDA multiple that the market values our own business today? And really, sort of the trigger point for that is the 7x EBITDA level. And when we look at the business right now and the current share price, that's a real sort of trigger point for us to determine, Do we continue with the buyback program because our shares are cheap as we see it? Or do we hold on to that cash for the acquisition opportunity? And then clearly leading into that acquisition pace, that depends on the timing and likelihood of those opportunities going ahead. It won't surprise you with all that cash in the bank that we're very actively pursuing these opportunities. And not to forget that in addition to the 34 million of cash in bank, we also still have our revolving credit facility there. That provides another 50 million, up to 50 million, subject to a trailing EBITDA of 2.5 times, including whatever we acquire. So really, business has 80 to 90 million of available resources to deploy into acquisitions. And our new head of M&A, Matt Jeffs, has been doing a sterling job since he joined us last year. We've got a really robust pipeline of targets that we've been actively working through. So watch this space.
What's the sort of timeline on those? Is it like I guess you're obviously, given your success with the Health and Her, sort of acquisition, you're pretty much who knows where it is, but you must be sort of pretty confident of hoping to land something in the next 12 months.
Yes, I'd expect that's fair,
Yeah.
Paul. I think right now it's probably it's here or there on
Okay.
exactly what the timing will look like. But what's important is that we can see some great opportunities within the right sectors for us. So complementary, women's health, male health in particular, fitting in with our geographic plans and also enabling more opportunity within the home market. So what's most important is that the opportunities that come along are we get them for a price and have a growth plan that is going to be right for us, right for shareholders, and ultimately stays within our target multiples that we aspire to.
Brilliant. And I'll just highlight to investors, just on that valuation, House Broker Cavendish has got a target price on the shares of £1. Currently, the share price is roughly about 67p. The shares trade at less than 6 times EBITDA, and typically consumer healthcare product companies go for well over 10 times and typically around about 12 to 13 times. So I think everybody agrees with you the shares, even though they've done very well last year, are still significantly undervalued. Now, just before we close then, any sort of final comments about what investors should have expect over the sort of the next 12 months? We're all hoping it's going to be more of the same, another 70% increase.
So do we. I mean, I think that the key messages really, Paul, are to just iterate that we are now a pure branded consumer healthcare business. That's a big change from what we were before we divested the manufacturing facilities last year when we were a vertically integrated business. So we're now a far more simplified business with a streamlined portfolio of products. We focus on our power brands that account for 94% of our revenues as of last year. We've got increased capability across the team, particularly across digital. Just launched our ERP system at the end of last year as well. We've got increased capability across marketing, reset that strategy into more working media and reach, and also developing out that innovation pipeline, which looks exceptionally strong. So all of these three items combined, and the simplification of the business are enabling us to really focus on delivering our biggest value creation items in front of us. And of course, actively pursuing the M&A across the complementary sectors I mentioned.
Brilliant. Okay, well, keep up the great work and look forward in touching base. Probably round about your May trading update throughout the performance of the company.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Good to connect as always.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.